Now, dear friends, this morning we want to look at the words of the angel that appeared to Mary from Luke chapter 1 and verse 33. That is our main text. And how the Lord's mother in verse 33 was told this, "And he," that is Jesus Christ, "and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." John the Baptist was to prepare a people. John the Baptist was to call out the people's attention, the nation of Israel, to behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. John the Baptist was to do that, to show that Jesus Christ is King. He is the one that we need to bow before and we need to submit to. And here Mary was told that this Jesus shall reign. He is going to be king over the house of Israel, the house of Jacob. And not just for a time, but forever, it says. And then there, it speaks about a kingdom, that Jesus has a kingdom. And the Lord spoke about this, that my kingdom is not of this world. What does this mean? What does all this mean? Jesus being king? Jesus having a kingdom? Well, if that's the case, then he must be ruling over some people. He must be the king over some people's lives. There must be some citizens in his kingdom. You can't have an empty kingdom. And there are many other verses in the Bible that speaks about this, and that Jesus Christ is king. We praise God for that, that he is king. In Matthew chapter 2 and verse 2, you remember those wise men who had come from the east, and they said to Herod, they said, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" They knew something that Herod didn't. They knew something that the Jews didn't. God had revealed a king is to be born in Israel. And he says, they said, "For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Again, what a wonderful truth that is. There's so much teaching in just what these wise men say, that this man is not just king, he is God as well, because we have come to worship him. That's so important. The people who were mocking and cursing the Lord Jesus Christ and accusing him at his crucifixion, while Jesus was suffering, they were reviling him, mocking him, laughing at him. Then they said this in Matthew 27 and verse 42, something that was true. They said this, "He saved others, himself he cannot save." And he couldn't, in the sense that he didn't want to save himself, because he was dying for the sins of his own people. He was dying to save us. And then they said this, "If he be the king of Israel." So they're recognizing, they've heard about this. He's claiming to be king. "And if he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him." Even in the Old Testament, the Jewish Bible, you have references made to Jesus Christ being king. You read Psalm 2. And you'll find out about this, where the Lord says, Jehovah says that "Yet I have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion." And this king reigns forever. In Isaiah, that familiar passage about the prophecy of the miraculous virgin birth of Jesus Christ, God calls him a prince. He's a prince. And he has a government. He has an everlasting government. We read this in Isaiah 9 and verses 6 and 7. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever." Dear friends, going back to what the angel said to Mary, in Luke 1, verse 33. She was told that she's going to carry a child and she's going to bring forth a child who will be an everlasting king. And that's what Jesus Christ, on who Jesus Christ is. And that's what Jesus Christ did and does and shall continue to do forever. To reign, to rule. He's in control. And that's a great comfort to us. To know Christ is in control. Is he controlling your life? Guiding you? Providing for you? Protecting you? Is he the king of your life? He's the maker of all. He's the creator of all. Without him, nothing was created. You could say he's the king of this world. So do you know this king? Have you received this king? Are you part of his kingdom? You see, this king is a wonderful king. Jesus is a wonderful king who says, come unto me. He receives sinful men, even us poor sinners. And dear friends, he calls us through the ministry of his word. He calls us in the preaching of the gospel. He calls us when we are singing his praises. He calls us when we are facing troubles and temptations and challenges in life. He calls us when we are reading the scriptures and we are hearing it preached. The king of sinners. This morning we want to think about three things about this subject. Jesus Christ, the king of sinners. One is this. That he delivers believing sinners. Secondly, that he protects believing sinners. And finally, that he rules believing sinners. And I would say to you that you would pray that God would write his word on your heart, that if you're not converted, that he would change you. That he would give you eyes to see and ears to hear what the word of God says to you this morning. So first thing is this. Jesus Christ delivers believing sinners. The angel came to Mary with this message, which was a long-awaited news. It was a great news. It was good news. It spoke about glad tidings of great joy to the shepherds. It was a message of deliverance. It was a message of freedom. And you see, this was good, not just for Mary, but for the whole nation of Israel, for the sons of Jacob. You see, the nation of Israel were in bondage. They were under the bondage of the Roman rule. The Roman Empire was ruling over them. And it wasn't a happy time for them. And they had been longing for, they had been waiting for some deliverer. They needed to be delivered. They needed to be saved. They needed a savior. And they couldn't produce a savior themselves. And so the message of the angel was a welcome news. It was something that they should have received. Oh, how foolish we can be too. We hear the same things and we can just bypass it. Say, well, that's for old people. That's for, not for me. I can do without it. I don't need this. But dear friends, these people, the children of Jacob, Israelites, they were not only under the bondage of the Roman government, but also under the bondage of false works religion. Works religion. You know, one of the most cunning thing that Satan does is he will make men religious. He will make men religious, and he keeps them doing things depending on their own works. Oh, yes, they can talk about Jesus Christ. They can talk about the Bible. They can talk about church. They can talk about all of these other things. But they are depending to some degree on their good works, on their performance, on their religious activities. And so somebody would say, well, I've always believed, I've always been to church, I've always done this, I've done this for charity. Of course I'm a Christian. One lady said to me not too long ago, I said, well, I am serving in the church. When I said, are you born again? She says, well, I would think so because I am serving in the church. Well, Nicodemus was serving in his church, and yet the Lord says, you must be born again. And these people, these Israelites, they were under the bondage of Rome, but they were spiritually like lost sheep. And dear friends, every one of us, as you hear it again and again and again, and the reason you hear it again, because you must hear it again and again. George Whitefield once was told, you keep preaching. You must be born again. Why are you preaching it again this week? He says, because you must be born again. And so the same truths are declared again and again because we need to be reminded where our salvation is and what is it based upon. It's not based upon man. And we need to be humble before the Lord. Every one of us are gathered here this morning. Every person who has taken breath in this world, naturally we have certain amount of freedom. Yes, of course. But in other ways, in spiritual ways, we are not free. We think we are. And the Bible speaks about this, about being slaves to sin. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke of this, being servants to sin, being under the dominion of sin. And this is what you see in other people. We are good at recognizing faults of others. And you see it in the headlines, most of the headlines in the news. And they're often very sad and speaking about the wickedness of man. So the world recognizes evil. And so all this news tells you again and again every day, you can't run away from it. We are prisoners in our sinful habits and thoughts. And no amount, dear friends, of education is going to wash away our sinful nature. No amount of policing and coercing and encouraging and counseling is going to change that. And we have had many of these things for decades, and we are being told again, we just need more of it. The reason we are this bad and the nation is this bad is just because we haven't got the method right. That's why. But my friends, you can't cut it out. You can't cut this nature out of you by human hands. Sin and sinfulness is part of the fallen nature of all people, and boys and girls, and as well as the adults. The Apostle Paul talks about it. If an apostle could speak about himself, and he says this in Romans 7 and verse 14, he says, I am carnal, sold under sin. I see it in myself. I'm so worldly in my thinking. And yet he was the Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was outwardly very religious. We read in Titus chapter 3 and verse 3, these words, and the scripture are very blunt. He says, for we ourselves also. So again, Paul puts him, this is the Apostle Paul's writing to Titus. And he says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. That's what I was before, he says. I was so foolish. I was so ignorant. I was disobedient. I was deceived, he says. I thought I knew everything, but I was actually deceived. Serving diverse or various lusts and pleasures. That's what I was doing. Living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Don't we see that? Why is that? Let me tell you, dear friends, a person who is sold as a slave in a normal circumstance, to be set free, he needs a deliverer. He needs a buyer. We need someone who comes and buys us. Can you find somebody to come and save you from that situation? Nobody else could do that. Boys and girls, your parents couldn't do that. They couldn't buy you and say, well, we spend this amount of money on you and we'll buy our children from their bondage of sin. No, no. We need someone who comes and pays for our freedom. You need it. I need it. And also, not only we are sold under sin or to sin, not only we are under on the power of sin, we are slaves to Satan too. Well, you may say, no, I'm not under his control. I don't even believe in the devil, some people would say. And the Bible says that every person is under the devil's control from birth. There's a kingdom of darkness. And that's what the Christians have been transformed. They've been brought out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, the Bible says. But before that, we are doing Satan's bidding. We do according to his wishes, and he's dangling the carrot before us, and we go this way and that way, and we carry on. We think, oh, we are free. I'm freely doing things myself. But, dear friends, we have our blinkers on. Sin and Satan puts our blinkers, and we think that we are free, but we are not. The Bible says that the God of this world, that is the devil, he blinds us and wants to keep us blind. And that is why maybe there is someone here this morning and you are going through great struggles. There is a war going on inside of you. Nobody else knows about this, only you. And you're feeling miserable and you're fighting against your sin. You're falling into it again. And there is all kinds of things, confusion, questions, all of these things happening to you. Let me encourage you by saying, could it be that God is at work and Satan is very unhappy? Could that be the case? Be encouraged and pray to the Lord. Lord, I need salvation. I want to get away from the kingdom of Satan. I want to draw near to the Savior. I need him to save me. Lord, do this for me because I'm so confused and I'm struggling. Oh, wretched man that I am. But my friends, don't let the devil have the upper hand in your life. You see, that's oftentimes is the case that people are not crying out to God. They're just becoming discouraged, more and more discouraged by what's happening in their life. But be encouraged. The devil is never happy if you're under the preaching of the Word of God. And some of you parents, you sometimes think, what am I going to do? Things are getting worse, it seems, with our children, and we do what we can, but it is not effective. But may I encourage you this to give yourself to more prayer, to be more consistent, and to remember that if God is at work, of course the devil will be unhappy. He's the most miserable creature in this world, Satan. Did you know that? Who is the most miserable creature in this world? Satan. Why? Because he's this defeated foe. And he's losing his members all the time. Every week that passes by, he's losing members. And Jesus Christ, the King, is saving and bringing people into his kingdom. But we are like Lot. Do you remember Lot? That relation of Abraham in the book of Genesis. And he was taken captive by some kings. And he could do nothing about his imprisonment. But Abraham came and with his people and he delivered him and he rescued him and all of his family. That's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ who saw us in the captivity of Satan. And he comes and he saves us and everything that we've got. And you think about your future. When you think about that, about the end of our life, we must be faced one day with death, that last enemy. So in a sense, you and I are not free from that. We are going to face it. We are going to face the grave. And those who are going to die without Christ of the Bible, they fall into hell. It's a serious thing. These all are our enemies. Death, the grave, hell, all are our enemies. So what should we do? As the psalmist, again and again, he speaks about the king. He says, Lord, save me. We must cry for help too. That's why it is a wonderful thing when you read the Psalms and you find the psalmist is sensing his need and he's calling upon God. Lord, destroy thy enemies, he says. Why is he saying that? Because he knows he can't do this by himself. He needs the Lord to do this. And the Apostle Paul says, and maybe you are saying, oh, wretched man, I feel so miserable. How miserable I am in my sin. I'm a slave to Satan. And the end of it is going to be so horrible for me. Lord, I'm not looking forward to it. I'm lost. And sometimes it is. As the Lord says, it would have been better for such people who have known the truth to have never been born? Who shall deliver me from this? And the angel brought this wonderful news. There is someone who is reigning. There is someone who has a kingdom. And he is to be born King of Israel. And he is Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul, when he was thinking about all of these things, and he was so miserable about this, and you can read about this in Romans chapter 7, he finishes off, he suddenly realizes, oh, but the Lord is there. My Savior is there. And he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He shall deliver me. And he has delivered me. So you might ask, who is going to save me? Jesus Christ says, come unto me. I will save you. So Jesus reigns. He rules. He's in control. And for those who believe in Jesus and have given themselves to his care, he delivers them from the reigning power of sin and Satan. Even though they will remain your enemies, those things, sin and Satan and the world will be always attacking you and causing you to stumble. And you need to watch and pray that you may not be led into temptation. But praise God, you're bound for heaven. You're bound for that kingdom of God. That's where we are bound if we are in Christ. And you think about the fact that yes, all of these things are happening to the child of God, and yet the king is coming. There is going to be a return of the king. And what a day that will be. Dear friends, do you need Jesus Christ as king? Do you want this almighty deliverer? Or are you going to just carry on saying, I'll just try harder. I'll just do it my own way. Oh, my friends, don't go down that path. It's this dead end at that path. The Lord said that he gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Now, the second thing is this, that Jesus Christ protects believing sinners. He protects believing sinners. And what a comfort that is. If you're a child of God, you're being protected. And it is not through some sort of a magical thing. It's not through some sort of a force field. It is not some sort of a barrier. It's Christ himself. Because you are in Christ, he protects you. Dear friends, a king is no king at all if he doesn't protect those who live in his kingdom. And so when Mary heard this, those words that the angel said, that there is one who is going to be born through you, he reigns, and his kingdom shall be an everlasting kingdom. When Mary heard those words, she and many others were in state of constant danger from those occupiers of the land. They had to obey and had nowhere to run to for shelter and help and protection. And so the news of this king was comforting. A true king. A true king protects and preserves his and all his enemies, as the Catechism put it. And so it is with the Lord Jesus. He, after saving our souls from sin, there are so many things that he does. After saving us from God's wrath, he protects us by his grace every day. And he gives us sufficient grace. When Paul, at one point, he thought he's going to lose it. He's not going to manage through the day. The Lord says, my grace is sufficient for thee. That's what he said. And the grace of God was sufficient for Paul. And that is what he does. You and I not only need to be delivered from Satan and sin and the world, but we also need to be kept and protected from our spiritual enemies. We need not only to be gathered like sheep together, but we need to be kept as well, kept in the flock, kept by the power of God, Jude says. And we have a wonderful picture, don't we, in the scriptures of the good shepherd who laid his life down for the sheep. And we have a great picture too of a shepherd who buys the lamb and places it in his flock. And this is very good for the lamb, to be brought into the fold and the flock of God. But you know, the faithful shepherd not only buys, He also cares for his lamb. He preserves its health. If it wanders from the fold, the shepherd goes with his staff and brings the lamb back. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, does this. And he says, and I give unto them eternal life. That's what I will give them. And they shall never perish. So if you're a child of God, by grace, you're immortal. You will not perish. You will not fall out. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Not even yourself. And nobody else too. The believing sinner is given eternal life by the King, Jesus Christ. And to whom he gives life, he protects. And that person never perishes. So let what comes your way. Let disease ravage your body and cancer goes through your whole body and pain comes through your whole nervous system. Let that happen. Let a car mangle your body one day. Let that happen and crush your flesh. Oh, it is awful, such things. But none of those things can touch your soul. You're kept. Your soul is kept. You are ready for heaven to meet the Lord if you're a child of God. Nothing, none of those things damages your eternal soul because this soul, this life is given by God and He protects that. This body, as the scripture says, is just like a tabernacle. It's like a tent. And you start taking out all the pins. You are undoing it. And that's what's happening for all of us. And you are even hearing the pegs coming out sometimes when you get out of bed. And so that is the case. It's happening. It's a normal thing. But the issue is, what about your soul? What about your soul? The King Jesus, He protects our souls. Do you fear how you will die? Well, the Lord takes away the sting of death. And so those of us who are in Christ, those of you who are in Christ, and I hope you're seeking Him. If you're not a Christian, you're seeking, you're desiring these things. And maybe you're fearing death and you don't know what's going to happen to you afterwards. But listen to the Lord. Listen to His word. Those who are in Christ and in His kingdom, they don't need to fear death. The apostle says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 37 onwards, he says, nay, no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And he says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. So whatever is going to happen to me, I'm persuaded of this. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So whatever is your fear, none of those things are going to separate you if you're a child of God. Because the Lord, the King, He protects you. Are you being protected? Who protects you? Are you trying to protect yourself? You can't ultimately. So praise God, this message has come to Mary and it was fulfilled through her. The Lord Jesus Christ is King. And finally, thirdly, the Lord Jesus rules believing sinners. He rules believing sinners. And we thank God for it. Or else we would be just without a guide. We would be stumbling about in the dark and not knowing what to do. And so in this world, while we live our life, the Lord says, I'm going to rule in your life. I'm going to control your life. I'm going to reign in your life. And so when we put our trust in Christ, Jesus is so good that He will not let us just wander about and to try to do things our own way or become selfish. But He governs us. He rules us. How does He do that? He tells us of His law in the Scriptures, the Bible, His Word. And He gives us the leading of His Holy Spirit. He sends us the Comforter, the Helper who comes alongside of us. So you won't be alone. So you always have the Lord with you. And so you think, well, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to live the life. I don't know what to do in this situation. The Lord, your teacher, comes and teaches you his word. What do you need for the day? That's what you need to be concerned about. What is the Lord saying to me today in this passage that I'm hearing, in this word that I've read, in this situation that I am in? Don't worry about the things that you don't understand. Be more concerned about the things that you do understand. You know, Mark Twain, he wasn't a good man. He was quite an ungodly man. He made even his own Bible. He said, I'm going to edit the Bible for myself. It was a very thin Bible. And he said that that God, what he was concerned about, wasn't about the things he couldn't understand, but the things that worried him were the things that he did understand from the Word of God. Be concerned about that. The Lord controls our lives and rules us with a wisdom that is perfect wisdom. He controls our lives also with perfect love. He cares for us. He loves us. And in his wisdom and grace, he leads us. He will govern you patiently. He will be there guiding you step by step. And when you fall, he carries you. He picks you up. And he shows you that everything in your life is dependent on him. That you don't have to do all of these things in your own strength. In your life. And his government is a gentle government. He even has given us his perfect truth. Oh, in this world you hear all kinds of things and sometimes you don't know what to believe in by the things we hear by the media. But you can always say, but the Bible is true. I can always trust that from cover to cover. And the Bible has the rules of our lives. Rules of our ruler, because he loves those who are under his care. Some people don't like that. So I don't want rules in my life. I read about a young lady called Ellen, and she was an angry child. She resented her parents' rules. She said, I can hardly do anything. So she complained and said, rules, 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 that's all my parents give me. And she loved the idea of being on her own. She said, I just can't wait to grow up and leave. And like most adults, I thought of that. I'm sure you thought of that at some point in your life. I thought, I'd rather live by myself. And then when you start living by yourself, you felt how awful it is. And you wish to be back with your parents. But that's how she thought. She didn't want anyone to tell her what to do or not to do. Then weeks after, she noticed this girl at college who was silently crying. And this young lady was a young lady who had a poor reputation. Her talk, her dress, her behavior were things that others didn't really appreciate. It was unacceptable. And she didn't fit in. She was lonely and distressed. And so Ellen said, I will go and talk to her. And this girl poured out her heart to her and that she had parents that showed no care, no concerns for her. Wherever she went, whenever she returned, whoever she went with, whatever she wore and so on, her parents couldn't care less. You do whatever you want to do. And now she was involved in several severe problems and felt that her life had no meaning. Her life was ruined. What's the point of living? So many people think like that too. But finally, she said to Ellen with tears, she said, Ellen, I'm so jealous of people like you. You have parents that really love and care for you. Do you see? These words of that girl convicted Ellen and her attitude towards her loving mom and dad and all of these guidelines and rules that the parents had set. She had never seen it before, that the rules of her parents were there for her good, and it was a demonstration of their love to her. And it's the same with the Lord Jesus Christ, our lawgiver, our King. He rules us by his word because he loves us. He knows best. He wants our true happiness and not be lost in the midst of all the lies and confusions that exist. So don't despise his word. When the preacher preaches it, when your parents or other Christians bring your attention to it, don't despise Christ or and his word. Those who despise the word of God despise their own soul. They don't really know what they are doing. And beside all this, Jesus is a king that tenderly chastens and disciplines and corrects his sinning disciples for their sins. He corrects us like a father that out of love corrects and chastens his children. In Hebrews, we read about this. We are told in Hebrews 12 and verse 6, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receives." And sometimes it is with a word. Sometimes it is with a look as you read the scriptures and you're convicted in your heart. Like Peter, wasn't it? The Lord appeared to him, came to him while Peter was working. And then Peter realized, this is the Holy Son of God. And he said, "Depart from me." When the same Peter, the Lord had been working in him, called him to be a disciple. And Peter had rejected the Lord. And then Jesus looked. Peter was smitten in his heart. Those things do happen. And you feel yourself so unclean at times, and so you feel so ashamed, and you think bitter in your heart. And that is a good thing. Turn to the Lord in that situation. God is at work. Maybe the circumstances, situations change in your life, and God is saying, "Listen to me, come to me, leave your sin." Dear friends, the Lord Jesus, our King, he protects us and he rules you by his love. Don't carry on then in the path that you were on. And you know in your own heart of hearts what we are talking about here. You've been maybe going in a certain way and you're being influenced by other people and things and friends, and there's peer pressure, both for adults and children. You listen to the word of God. That will lead you to the celestial city. That will lead you to heaven. That will be the testimony of God that he would put in your heart. You need to be protected from all these enemies around you, from sin and world and Satan. You need protection. You can't do it by yourself. You can't control your own life. It goes out of control. You can't keep yourself in the right path. Oh, pray to God the Father. Cry that he will send you his deliverer, the King Jesus. Cry to God to send you his protector, King Jesus. Cry to God to send you his ruler, King Jesus, into your heart and life. To save you, Jesus Christ is King. King of believing sinners. Those who have repented of their sins and have trusted in Christ. And God the Father says, "I have set my King upon my holy hill of Zion." But may it be that he would set his king upon the hill of our heart, the throne of our heart too. Is he your king? Or are you under control of another, being influenced by this world? If he is your king, I hope you've heard enough to think how blessed I am. And all because of grace. Not because of me, but because of him who loved me and gave himself for me. What a king Jesus is, who came to bring peace as the Prince of Peace between us and God, and peace to our hearts from the ravages of sin. What a king he is, who died for even his enemies and now lives and to hold us up, to provide for us and to defend us. What a king who is also coming soon to show us his glory and for us to be in his royal courts of heavenly kingdom. May he be our king and not Satan, sin, or the world. Amen.